Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips. This is episode 170, and today we're talking about how to avoid the skills trap. The skills trap. What's that all about? Well, this is because I was asked a really good question this week. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about preaching and teaching, and he asked me this question, which is, how do we avoid depending upon our skills as teachers and preachers, as we grow in our experience, as we grow in our skills, how do we avoid depending on them rather than on God? Indeed, can our skills become an impediment, a barrier, something that detracts from our effectiveness? And of course, there are people we might know or know of, and we look at them and we think, there's a dependence there on skill rather than on the Spirit. And that is a potential danger for any of us who speak and preach God's word. So how do we deal with that very real issue? I know that I, at times, have relied more on my clever ideas or clever presentation skills, a picture, an image, a video, an illustration, more than I've depended upon God. So what do we deal with this? It's a very real issue. So we began to discuss this, and I thought I'd bring you the fruits of that conversation, at least as far as it went, as much, of course, we didn't cover, but at least what we got to, I thought I'd share with you and see what you think are the ways to help us to make sure that we use the skills that God has given us and has given us the opportunity to learn, but not depend upon them. So there are four things that can help us with our defense, and then one particular idea I have I'd like to share with you and see what you think. So here's the first thing that can help us with this, which is to be sure that we're prioritizing our personal times of devotion with God, that we don't neglect that. When we neglect our personal devotional times with God, there's a greater likelihood that we will end up depending upon our skills because we don't feel the power of God's Spirit within us in our daily walk, in our daily life. And that being the case, there's a greater risk of depending upon our gifts and skills. Personal, devotional times with God. How are those times for you right now? Are you learning from God? Are you growing? Number one. Number two, in the act of preaching and teaching, are you telling people things or are you taking them along with you? Walking together. Come with me as I learn. Come with me as I grow. Let's walk together. I will share some things with you. You doubtless, as this community, can help me with this. Is that the spirit? Or is it, I've got some things you need to do? Now, granted, there are times to be quite direct in our preaching and teaching, but still, we're all fellow sinners. We're all fellow disciples. We're all fellow walkers along the way with Jesus, who's leading us, accompanying us and leading us. And we are simply those privileged with the opportunity to share our story, to share our experiences of what Jesus has been teaching us so that we can help one another walk together in discipleship. So look at your tone. Reflect back, listen to one of your recent audio or podcasts or YouTubes if it's been recorded. If it hasn't been recorded, then record one or two of your own and ask yourself whether you're coming across like a teller or someone taking people along. And if you can't do that, or you're not sure about your objectivity, ask some people who've been listening to you. That'll be a humbling, but brave and God-honoring experience. That's the second thing. Thirdly, are you feeling, generally speaking, are you feeling a sense of frustration towards those you're speaking to or compassion? I would submit that the majority of the time when Jesus is preaching and teaching, there's a sense of compassion for the people he's speaking to, rather than frustration. There are times of frustration. Let's face it, the Pharisees were a difficult bunch to deal with, and sometimes his own disciples were a bit frustrating in their slowness to learn. But overall, even in his frustration, truth be known, there is a compassion in Jesus because he wants all people, like the Father does, all people to be saved. So you in your speaking, is it mostly generally frustration? You really need to get this. Why haven't you got this by now? Why do I have to preach this point again? Or is it a sense of compassion? We're all the same here. We all need God. And I have plenty of times when I must have been frustrating God. So let me not take my frustrations of anything else out on the people you've given me to speak to, God. Let me treat them with compassion. So frustration or compassion. And the fourth thing, the fourth way we know about, or that helps us to defend against the idea of, or the possibility of, depending on skills as opposed to the spirit, is whether we welcome feedback or not. This is not easy. It's painful. It is humbling. I find it hard. I've been preaching and teaching for 3 decades. I still find it hard to receive feedback, but I still need it. And so do you. Do you welcome the feedback? We're not our most objective judge, are we? In fact, just before sitting down to record this, I was listening to part of a recording I did on the Book of Hebrews about 7 or 8 or 9 years ago. I thought it was quite good, really, and maybe it is. But the truth is, I'm not the best judge, and neither are you of your own speaking. We need other people to provide valuable perspective on our preaching and teaching. So who is that for you? That person may be able to detect your dependence upon your skills before you do, or before you're able to. So who do you listen to? Who do you ask feedback from? It makes a big difference. So we've got those four things: personal devotional times with God, telling or taking people along with you, frustration or compassion, and getting objective feedback from other people. Now, here's my last thought, which is, I think, the key. At least for me, this is the key to the whole issue of not depending on our skills, but depending on the Spirit, which is this. In preparing a lesson, in preparing to preach, and I'll use preach for the moment here, though it could be teaching, could be sharing, could be all kinds of the ways in which God uses us to bring his message to his people. But let's talk about preaching for a moment. Let me share a phrase with you and tell me what you think about it. The preacher does not prepare the sermon. The sermon prepares the preacher. Let me repeat that. The preacher does not prepare the sermon. The sermon prepares the preacher. Now, granted, of course we prepare something to say, but I expect you get the point here, that the goal isn't so much that I need to prepare a lesson that makes sense, that is inspiring, that is informative, that is effective. The point is more that first, before I can do any of that, that the sermon needs to prepare me. In other words, whatever I'm studying, whether it's a text in the Bible, a particular narrative text, or whether it's a topic, that as I study it, it changes me. It prepares me. It prepares me to be a better follower of Jesus. And thus, of course, I will be then a better preacher of God's word or teacher of God's word. That will come about automatically if I'm prepared. So as the Spirit, as the word changes me and prepares me, then I become a better prepared person to bring that message to God's people or whoever God has given me to speak to. And then I'm much more likely to be depending upon the Spirit than I am upon my skills. And I can use the skills. I can use the experience. But what's in the core of the message, what's in the core of me, is I'm a changed person. And that's why we need to prepare our lessons well in advance, because they need to prepare us. And only if they have time to prepare us in the crucible of real life can we then bring the message effectively, authentically to other people. And that's a subject I've recorded on before today. The preacher does not prepare the sermon. The sermon prepares the preacher. What do you think about this idea? It's vital that we allow God's word to change us so that we can then bring it to other people who hopefully it can also change and grow. So do you think I'm right about that? Do you think I'm off track about these ideas? Do you see a barrier between God's truth coming to people and the use of skills? Is there a problem there with skills and how we approach using them? I don't think there is. I think we should develop the best skills we can to learn how to be good at self-deprecating humor, I talked about recently, how to prepare well, how to be logical in our argumentation, how to use illustrations well, whether they're visual or just stories we tell, the difference between stories and anecdotes, speaking well in terms of being clear, using pauses well, using a tone of voice well, using higher and lower tone and pitch, and all of these things matter. I think as we, hopefully by the time you've been preaching and teaching for 10, 20, 30 years, you're more skilled than you were at the start. One would hope so. But on the other hand, it's important that we don't depend on them, but instead on the Spirit of God's word, the Spirit within God's word, the Spirit working powerfully through God's word. That is where the power is. Many a time, too many times, I've preached a sermon or a lesson that I thought was technically excellent, and it appeared to have no impact. Other times, I've preached lessons which technically weren't particularly good, but met a need and changed people. You've probably had the same experience. And the answer is not to do away with skill. The answer is to make sure that the sermon, the lesson, has prepared your heart first. What do you think about this? Please leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. Leave it publicly so that we can learn from each other, because we learn best in community. If you know someone who might benefit from this, pass the link on. If you're watching YouTube, hit the notification button. Please subscribe to the channel. If you're listening to the podcast, then leave a review. And I pray until the next time that you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.